Thank you, Chairman Olson. At this time, we will go to Senate Bill 160, an act to prohibit the offering of post-secondary education credit or degree by non-accredited institutions. The proponents for Senate Bill 160, President Brown.
Thank you, Chairman Burroughs, members of the Education Committee. Thank you for letting me appear before you today with Senate Bill 160. As most of you have read this, it is very short, but it is very important. And we do have some people who will run you through a lot more information than what I could either give you or gather. But it's an amendment, actually, for Chapter 1349, which is the control of educational institutions. And it's very important that we establish some basis and discontinue the so-called diploma mills that we have coming out of all of our vending machines. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move this to a better presentation from some of the region staff, and I will stand by to hopefully answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Senator Brown. At this time, we won't entertain any questions for the senator. However, I believe he has called for further proponents of this bill, and I see that the Board of Regents is prepared to address us on what I have found is a big problem.
Nobody was. When you get calls at 10:30 at night from New Zealand.
Good morning. My name is Jim Shackleton. I'm General Counsel for the South Dakota Board of Regents. I don't know that we'll secure a better presentation, but perhaps more obscure. Before getting into the text of the bill, I'd like to tell a very short little story. My son, when he was in high school, became interested in riding horses. He wanted to jump, as they do in the Olympics. And he actually did a fairly decent job of this, and we ended up going over to the Minnesota State Fair on one occasion. While we were there, some of the horse people were saying, "Ah, yes, Dakota-bred horses, they're always good." And Dakota-bred horses have a little cachet amongst the horse people in the Twin City area, and that says a lot about the independent work of horse breeders throughout the Dakotas. They call the herds. Now, Senate Bill 160 has to do with how our education system is viewed. Just about any night, if you turn on national news, you're either going to see a product of South Dakota higher education presenting the news or making the news. Our education, both private, public, and tribal, wears very well across the country. But if you'll look at some of the handouts that I've given you, you can see that there's another growth in South Dakota. If you'll look in the copy of the magazine article about diploma mills, on page 38, towards the middle of the center column, you'll discover that in discussing these diploma mills, recently the state of choice for this kind of thing has been South Dakota. If you look at this website from Oregon, the state of Oregon has a regulation that prohibits people from presenting themselves to employers or to members of the public as having university degrees, unless those degrees are taken from accredited colleges. And you'll see here that two institutions on this list have been identified as South Dakota institutions. This is not the reputation that does any good for any of the institutions that the taxpayers of this state have invested so long and so carefully in creating. It does no good for the private institutions that the citizens of this state have supported with tithes and with tuition for so many years does no good for the technical institutes of this state that the taxpayers have been very carefully overseeing, and it does no good for the tribal institutions of this state that have been amongst the leaders in establishing Native American educational institutions. This bill is designed to take a very simple, an efficient approach to addressing the problem. The purpose here is to require that institutions that are going to be operating in South Dakota or from South Dakota be eligible to provide Title IV financial aid. The reason that, and this is going to protect virtually all the institutions in South Dakota that are well known, brick and mortar institutions that South Dakota is also across the state could easily find and identify and tell you about. The purpose of looking at Title IV federal financial aid is to piggyback on some of the consumer protection regulations that Congress put in place at the end of the 90s, at the end of the 80s. Throughout the 80s, there had been serious problems with abuse of federal funds. People would go out, they'd try to get students with loaded up with federal financial aid. They'd bring them in, give them a second-rate education or very little education at all, put them back out on the street, and they had the Title IV money. What difference did it make to them? In order to try to prevent unscrupulous operators from continuing to prey on students, federal government put in a series of regulations that required that institutions be accredited. And the accreditation standards were also mandated by the federal government. They required that the institutions have evidence of competent faculty with academic credentials that are appropriate for the kind of academic program that is being delivered. They required that they actually deliver an academic program. Many of these institutions that are, the three that are named here, you can dial in, and if you pay your money and you get a degree based on your life experiences. And if you need a degree in a hurry, for an extra $140, you can get it within 2 weeks. Some of you have paid college tuition, and you know what a deal. Okay, the Title IV financial aid mandates that accreditation standards mandate that the academic program conform to accepted academic practice. And most of all, the U.S. Department of Education itself reviews the financial and administrative resources of the candidates for accreditation to make sure that these really are institutions that have enough financing to be able to deliver the programs that they have, and they have competent administration so that they can deliver the programs they have. This is a good, solid approach for us to take. If we are satisfied, if an institution has gone out and been able to satisfy independent accrediting agencies, that it has a bona fide program, has a valuable product, if it's been able to satisfy the U.S. Department of Education, that it has the financial wherewithal to actually make good on the promises it's making for students, then we can be satisfied that they will be able to provide the degree of protection for South Dakota. They'll keep our educational institutions up to the standards that they have set historically. In terms of the range of problems that we have here, we at the Board of Regents field approximately 1 to 2 calls per week from people who are calling up, and they want to know, is this or that institution a legitimate educational institution? Well, I'm a lawyer, so I get all the calls. That's a very difficult question to ask to somebody. A person doesn't want to be in a position of opening himself up or opening the state up for libel suits at every telephone call, but nevertheless, we get them at the rate of 1 to 2 a week. Our website, we have an information page, same rate, 1 to 2 a week. That's only the Board of Regents. I don't know. I know for a fact that the Attorney General gets these calls regularly. I don't know the rate. I know for a fact that the Governor's office fields these calls. I don't know the rate. The Secretary of State's office fields these calls. Again, I don't know the rate. Even the State Library gets these calls. We're being peppered by people because once reasonable people get out there and start looking at the website, they immediately discover they're going to get something for nothing. Is this legit? What is the selling point? and South Dakota's good name. That's the selling point. What is told to these people, we can legitimately do business in South Dakota. The state imprimatur, the state legitimacy is the thing that these people trade upon in order to persuade students that it's a legitimate operation. It's not just in this country. We had an institution, an organization calling itself New Yorker University, was set up by an Italian entrepreneurs based out of Milan, who had somebody in New York who set up the corporation for them here in South Dakota. I knew about this. They asked, is it really true that there's no restriction? I said, yes, it's really true. You can come into South Dakota, register to do business, and either sell shoes or sell degrees. It's, you know, it's the same thing. The next thing I hear about it is from the New York University saying, what do you know about these people? We have a branch that operates out of Florence, Italy, and it's being running into competition from some outfit out of Milan calling itself New Yorker University selling distance education degrees in Italy. A couple of months later, New York University shuts the place down. That's not what we want the name of South Dakota to be involved in. That's not the proper use of our good name. The stories could go on inordinately long. I've already gone on longer than I probably should have. Be happy to try to answer any questions.
Mr. Shackleton, it was handed along with your handouts an amendment that you have for Senate Bill 160.
That's correct.
The committee, as you look at that, I'll entertain a motion to move that amendment and so that we can speak to it.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Senator Olson.
The amendment doesn't have a labeling number, but it would read on page 1, insert a new section to read as follows. This section shall not apply to credit or degree offered by a religious institution solely for the purpose of conferring status or authority within that religion. Shortly after 160 got in the bill book, if I might, Mr. Chairman.
Sure, certainly.
I received a phone call from my hometown from a fellow that I got to know and was a candidate for the House of Representatives, and we did a lot of door-to-door, and he was questioning me, why he's trying to shut me down. I had no idea that they had a Bible college. It's a faith-owned Bible school, been in existence since 1921. So I visited with the Attorney General and representatives of the Board of Regents, and that certainly is not their intent. There also are, I believe, another two institutions that are strictly religious-based. The graduates of Faith Home do a lot of missionary work, work on the reservation and so forth. So I would hope that the committee would see fit to further amend or to amend Senate Bill 160 with the proposed amendment.
Do you move that?
I would make that motion.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Senator Hamm. Any further discussion on that amendment? I guess one question. Will this handle, and Mr. Shackleton, you probably would also know, will this amendment then handle the problems that Senator Olson just spoke of by this amendment? Would that be sufficient to take care of those that he wants to see to?
Yes, because it's quite narrowly tailored. The amendment was prepared by Neil Fulton from Mann, Gerdes, and Thompson. He consulted with a number of the affected parties, as well as with Senator Olson, but also contacted the churches themselves. And
so you do consider it as being a friendly amendment?
Oh, yes, by all means.
Thank you. Senator Olson.
I want to commend Neil. He drafted this and then made sure that everybody that I knew was potentially impacted in a negative way by the original version of the bill. Just did a terrific job because I received phone calls because of his prompt due diligence, and they're all fine with the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Shackleton. We then have the amendment motion, second, discussion. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. 160 is amended. Any further proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Charlie McGuigan with the Attorney General's Office. And our rate of contact is about the same as the Board of Regents. We get 1 to 2 phone calls a week. We get 1 or 2 email inquiries a week. They want to know if these are legitimate institutions, and they also want to know if if the degrees they receive are degrees they can use in their workplace or at other institutions of higher learning. And in working with Mr. Shackleton, we have developed some standardized language that we use to answer these questions that hopefully points the folks in the right direction as to what they might be getting into and yet does not get us into any legal problems. For approximately $800, you can purchase a PhD if you so choose. For $600, you can get a master's degree, and for $500, you can purchase a bachelor's degree. At least one of the institutions uses a fairly short form that you then attach an electronic version of your resume to. They use that form and they use the information that you provide in your resume to determine what degree you are eligible for. That's all there is to it. You submit the information, you pay your fee, they give you your degree. And that's what their degree looks like. I printed this right off of their website. As Mr. Shackleton stated, the reason these organizations are operating in South Dakota is because they can claim that they are operating pursuant to the laws of the state of South Dakota, because in order to operate, all they have to do is register to do business with the Secretary of State's office and purchase a sales tax license. If they do those two things, then they are in full compliance with the laws of the state of South Dakota as they exist at this time. And in fact, one of the colleges puts right on their website the certificate from the Secretary of State's office saying that they are registered to do business. And I'll pass this one around. It has the certificate from the Secretary of State. It has an example of their degree. And it also has a list of their prices to get the various degrees. If you look at the names that these institutions are using, they are using legitimate sounding, almost deceptively close names or to actual institutions. So they're trying to make themselves appear as legitimate as they possibly can. They want persons who present their degrees to employers, to other institutions, to have a complete air of legitimacy to them, so that those degrees are accepted without question by whoever is looking at them. Just recently, several weeks ago, we received a letter from a gentleman in Lompoc, California, asking our office to bless the PhD he purchased from one of these institutions, and asking us to assure them that he would not be prosecuted for holding himself as a doctor with a PhD by using this degree. I'll pass this around for the committee. I would urge you to read the letter and look at some of the punctuation, grammar, and spelling in it. Currently, the only thing that our office is capable of doing with these institutions is if they do not have an actual physical location in South Dakota, if they are merely holding themselves out as being in South Dakota when they're actually located somewhere else, it is a deceptive trade practice, which means it is a Class 2 misdemeanor, and they're subject to an injunction. We have contacted several of these institutions saying, hey, it's a deceptive trade practice. You're not really in South Dakota. Even your phone number that you provide is not a South Dakota phone number. Cease and desist. All they do is they go rent a suite with a telephone machine, with a telephone and an answering machine, and they've now complied with our deceptive trade practice statute. And there's nothing further we can do with these folks. And for the reasons that Mr. Shackleton talked about and for the legitimate consumer concerns our office has, we would request that you pass this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. McQuiggan. Any questions at this point? We, I think, have pretty well established through the Board of Regents and through the AG's office that this is need and the amendments and so on are okay as far as you're concerned.
Yes, they are, Mr.
Chairman. Okay, thank you. Is there any other proponents of Senate Bill 160 that has some new information that we have not realized at this time? Welcome, Representative.
Thank you. I'm Representative Alice McCoy. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. I don't have any new information. I think you've been thoroughly informed. I'm not calling myself doctor yet. I don't have the money, but thank you. I appreciate it. I just wanted to be on the record.
Thank you. Any other proponents of 160? As amended. Hearing none, no other opponents. Are there any opponents? Excuse me. I'll call for those first. Any opponents to Senate Bill 160 as amended? Yes, Senator Olson.
I'm afraid the opponents are probably overseas.
Let me just say that the other evening it was about, I think, in the neighborhood of 10 or 10:30, when usually young people like myself are tired and sleeping, that I received a telephone call from New Zealand, from one of the colleges that we're looking at here, and wanted to possibly be in a conference call and be able to testify in favor. But I assured him that I thought that we knew everything we needed to know, and it was probably not necessary. Any other opponents of Senate Bill 160 as amended? Seeing none, we'll move to committee action and what we want to do with that Senate bill.
Mr.
Senator Hamm.
I move due pass on Senate Bill 160.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
I will second that.
We have a motion by Senator Hamm, seconded by Senator Olson, Senate Bill 160, do pass as amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll...
Yes.
Yes, Senator Hamm.
How many of these places do we have in South Dakota? Does anybody have an idea? I know we have one.
Yes, maybe Mr. Shackleton, do you have any idea of numbers that we may have?
I don't have... We only know the numbers of people who call in... we've seen probably a half dozen
different universities.
Different universities. There's two of them at any rate that play off, three of them that play off the names of well-known, well-established universities.
Yes, I noticed one of those.
Yes, and well, also Concordia College and University is one that has been pursued aggressively by some of the legitimate Concordia colleges, and then there's Trinity College and University. There's several well-known Trinity colleges.
Thank you. Any further discussion or questions? Yes, Senator Olson.
Just, I thought this was kind of humorous. We have a medical school in Mitchell, in case you want to know. I wasn't aware of that, but.
Thank you. Any further comments, discussion, questions? We have a motion. We have a second. Hearing none, we will go to voting on Senate Bill 160 as amended. Secretary of those voting aye, nay. Secretary, call the roll.
Dugard?
Aye.
Hamm?
Aye.
Huttmacher?
Aye.
McIntyre?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Bros?
Aye.
7 yeas, no nays.
Senate Bill 160 goes to the floor. Do pass as amended.